Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix, don't be a loser.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Colin from Linwood is. Colin, are you there?
Yeah.
Colin, were you listening to the cheat sheet yesterday during the men's room at 5:40?
I wasn't.
All right, Steve, you heard the man. He's honest.
Way to go, Colin.
Time for you to get out of here. For those who are playing along, Colin will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yes.
In the world of digital audio, what does CD stand for?
Compact disc?
Yes. How many of the 7 dwarves had beards?
3?
No.
5?
No.
4?
No. What is the name of the family dog on Family Guy?
Brian?
Correct. What is the bottom number of a fraction called?
Denominator?
Correct. Which U.S. state is directly below Kansas?
Missouri?
No.
Oklahoma?
Yes. Who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Darth Vader?
No.
Pass.
Norman Osborn is better known as what Marvel villain?
Goblin. Green Goblin?
Yes. Which auto manufacturer makes the CRV?
Honda.
Yes. Which South American country features a man-made forest shaped like a guitar?
Brazil?
No.
Peru?
No.
Colombia?
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 correct, Colin.
Dang.
I think you did very well. I think you should be excited. I don't know if Steve's going to be able to pull this off.
I want that Beat Mig shirt.
Oh. Yeah, those were fun.
Yeah.
The Beat Mig shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you look great on those.
Thank you. It's probably the best I've ever looked.
Welcome back, Steve. Are you ready?
Showtime.
In the world of digital audio, what does CD stand for?
Compact disc.
Yes. How many of the 7 dwarves had beards?
6?
Yes. What is the name of the family dog on Family Guy?
Brian.
Correct. What is the bottom number of a fraction called?
The denominator.
Yes. What U.S. state is directly below Kansas?
Alabama?
No.
Georgia?
No.
Missouri?
No. Who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Mark Twain?
No.
Warrant?
No.
Janie Lane?
No.
Technically.
Norman Osborn is better known as what Marvel villain?
Doc Ock?
No.
What was the question?
Norman Osborn is better known as what Marvel villain? No.
Thor.
No. Which auto manufacturer makes the CRV?
Honda.
Yes. Which South American country features a man-made forest shaped like a guitar?
Let's go Brazil.
No.
Chile.
No.
Peru.
No.
Argentina.
Yes.
Damn it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 correct, and that is a loss.
Let's
6-5,
Let's
Colin.
Let's go.
Woo. Oh, man.
Congratulations.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
Smack. He's a Milwaukee Brewer to me.
He did guess correctly that Oklahoma is directly below Kansas. Uncle Tom's Cabin was written by Harriet Beecher Stowe. Our friend also knew that Norman Osborn is also the Green Goblin.
Oh, that's right.
And that's all. That's the end. Congratulations on losing.
I'm disappointed, though, because tactically, Warren put out a song called Uncle Tom's Cabin.
You know what I meant.
It doesn't matter. You just asked who wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin. Janie Lane, one of his best songs. No?
Primary songwriter?
I don't know. I'm a summer song.
The Daily Mix Show.
Today is a big day, baseball fans. The Little League World Series is nearly underway, and there's a team representing Washington State. We're going to chat with the coach of Soundview Little League from Tacoma. Kyle Yarborough will be on after Pearl Jam. The Pacific Northwest is represented at this year's Little League World Series. Soundview Little League from Tacoma is in the tournament.
I'm fired up. It all starts today at noon on ESPN.
And we have Coach Kyle Yarbrough on with us right now to talk about these awesome little studs. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Dude, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Big game happening today at noon to start off with the big Little League World Series. This is a stupid question. How fired up are you? But, I mean, what's the thoughts? What's going on in your world right now? I mean, you got, like, the whole energy of this team and the parents and everybody here in Washington State that's rooting you on. It's got to feel pretty cool.
It does. It's pretty amazing. You know, I think dream come true for all of these kids, right? Every little leaguer hopes to show up one day at Williamsport and play in the beautiful facilities that they have here and watch people slide down the grass hill and the outfield and all that stuff, all the stuff that we've seen. So for these guys to actually live it and see it and do it, it's got to be pretty surreal. I know it is for us as coaches. They've kept us so busy the first few days, though. It's been hard to kind of just take a step back and take it all in, but I suspect that's probably coming at some point. So it's been great.
Coach Kyle, you mentioned that. I mean, when I was a kid, that was the biggest dream of my life. Like, I always wanted to be in the Little League World Series, and I realized I did not have the talent to do it. But I hope that was, like, you know, I think anyone who's ever played Little League sports, that's like a lifelong dream.
It is. It's awesome. And these guys, you know, a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort into getting to where they are now. But, you know, it takes drive, it takes commitment, you know, all that stuff. And these kids at a young age have shown that and been able to push through and just be present every day and work hard. So, you know, they deserve to be here. They're really great baseball players, all of them. Yeah, and they're looking forward to the opportunity to show what they can do.
And, Coach Kyle, these kids are, you know, about 12 years old. Is that right?
That is correct, yep. You can be anywhere up to 12, but our entire team is 12, yeah. Some kids are turning 13 shortly, but...
How do they process nerves at this level? What as their coach, how do you kind of help work them through some of those feelings of nervousness as they you know, go game to game here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole coach cliche talks, it's no different than baseball back home, right? That's what we tell them. But honestly, I think that's part of the beauty of being 12. Is that they don't have that perspective quite yet of how special this really is. I think that they know that it's special, but I think it's old people like us that kind of look back and go, man, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. We recognize that through our maturity, I guess. And I don't think that they quite have that yet. So, which is good. It's good for them. It's good and bad. It's good in that I don't feel like they feel as much nerves as we do. But it's bad in that, you know, I hope that they can take the time to really appreciate what they have because it's pretty awesome.
And so tell us a little bit about Soundview Little League, because it's based in Tacoma. So how did you guys get to this point?
Yeah, it's Tacoma-based, northeast Tacoma, main part of Tacoma, University Place and Fir Crest communities are all members of Soundview. So it's a pretty good-sized league. I think there's 1,200 or so kids or more across the entire league. You know, it starts back in January. We do assessment days, and you kind of watch all the players play, and you make lists, and you draft a team. We had 8 majors level teams this year, and all of these kids are from those majors level teams. And then at the end of the season, coaches are nominated and selected. And then from that, we have essentially like a, I don't want to call it a tryout because we watched all of these guys play all season long. So we have kind of a final gathering of all of the kids that were nominated for All-Stars. We run them through some scenarios to maybe answer some lingering questions, and then we select a team and we go. It's a long process, but it's fun.
And Coach, what is it like traveling with a bunch of 12-year-olds? Is it complete chaos?
It is complete chaos, yes. But we've had our ups and downs, but for the most part, these kids are great. You know, I'm a little bit more of a hard ass, I guess, than a couple of the other coaches, and they have to constantly remind me, hey man, these guys are 12, and I'm like, yeah, that's true, they are 12. So I'll give them a little bit of a break, but you know, I'll tell you. For the most part, they've done pretty well. When we got off the plane from San Bernardino to Williamsport, our section of the plane was the most detailed and dialed and cleaned up compared to the rest of the team. So happy about that for sure.
Yeah, I'd be the third base coach buying everybody ice cream and giving them the Nintendo Switch to shut them up. I'd be the worst coach
exactly.
ever.
Yeah.
So we're talking to Coach Kyle Yarbrough, who's the coach for Soundview Little League, which is they're in the Little League World Series. They play today at noon. Any truth to the rumor that if you win the whole thing that you get to take over the Seattle Mariners?
You know, me and Jerry have been talking, and it sounds like that might be in the works, so, yeah.
We'll take anything we can get at this point, Coach, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, they'll turn it around. They'll turn it around.
I hope so. We've been saying it all season.
Yep.
Well, we are, Coach Kyle, we are rooting for you, and we're so excited about Soundview Little League. Good luck today in the game. I believe it's double elimination format, so let's just keep it going, and we're pulling for you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for the time. Appreciate it. We'll do our best, and yeah, we'll go from there. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, good luck Coach. To you today. Thank you.
Take Bye-bye. Care.
The Daily Mix Show.
And yeah, the Mariners, they lost yesterday, 22-0.
Yeah. Hopefully our Little League team doesn't do that.
But the internet has absolutely melted down because of that massive loss yesterday. And that means we have to go straight to the comments at 8:20.
Everyone knows social media is a time suck. And what you're about to hear proves it. If it's online, someone, somewhere, has an opinion and is whining about it. So let's get straight to the comments.
Our Seattle Mariners suffered an all-time ugly loss last night, getting absolutely destroyed 22-0 by the Milwaukee Brewers. The 22-run margin tied the modern Major League Baseball record for the largest shutout, while Milwaukee also matched its franchise record for runs in a game.
What did they say? It was tying the largest shutout win since the start of 1888.
Oh my gosh.
What's happening, man?
Shall we add insult to injury, Steve?
Sure, why not?
At one point, Julio Rodriguez didn't realize there were only two outs after making a catch, and he just tossed the ball into the stands.
As Yelich flies out for the second out, and there is run. Oh, number 20, but... Oh, he threw it up.
He threw it into the bullpen. He thought it was the last out.
So now, but then two bases for both of the runner.
I couldn't figure out where the ball was.
Yeah, he thought it was three outs.
Yeah, he was wrong. And the look on Julio's face, the entire team just looked very defeated.
Well, as you can imagine, Steve, many people on the internet are also feeling very defeated and have to share their thoughts. So we've got to go straight to the comments.
So we found a bunch of these comments, and boy, was there a bunch. I was like, well, who better to read it? Because it said it was since 1888. So I was like, oh, well, we should probably get someone who's really old to read these comments.
Are they alive or not alive?
They are not alive.
Is it Betty White?
You know it. We've got Betty White, just because I love her voice. Robot Betty White reading the comments about the Mariners' crushing loss. Are you ready for the first one?
I guess.
If that's not a this is now officially the Titanic moment, then I don't know what is. This team has hit the iceberg, and it's only a matter of time before it breaks in two and sinks. Dan Wilson is a hell of a leader.
Okay, I think that part was sarcasm.
I love Dan Wilson.
Oh, we all do.
But I just don't think he's the answer anymore.
No, we all love Dan Wilson. We just don't love him as the manager of the Mariners. No. Put him back as an ambassador. Have him hang out with the players. Have him do a bunch of stuff with the team.
It's time.
Like I've said time and time again, this team, minus how they run the actual baseball team, everything else they do really well.
Yeah.
Like the marketing of it, just the overall energy and just vibe of the team is fantastic. It's just what they're putting on the field and who manages the team, not so much.
If these young men were paid better, maybe they could pay attention to the game.
You know what? You're right. We need to pay Julio Rodriguez more money.
Not after last night's showing.
That had to have been an awkward moment to go into the dugout and be like, I guess at that point, like I'm sure the rest of the team's like, dude, we're already down by 20 runs. Who cares?
Do whatever you want out there. Right. Doesn't matter.
Julio blew it in a 21-run game, and y'all still post this like it's huge. Baseball fans are actually the worst.
Well, I think anyone who's super fanatic about anything is actually the worst.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, okay, grand scheme of things, we're going to be all right.
Gear down, Big Rig.
But that was bad.
The last time it was this bad... Grover Cleveland was president.
What?
We had 38 states and airplanes weren't even invented yet.
We did not need that information.
We didn't even have 50 states. We didn't have planes, Danny.
Oh, my God.
It was a simpler time.
It's very disappointing.
I can't believe that the Mariners social media team actually posted the final score graphic. Respect.
Dude, I thought the exact same thing. As soon as I saw the score 22-0... and the Mariners lost to the Brewers, I was like, I need to see, you know, there's like that, like, you're just like, oh man, that poor social media manager has to share the score because that's what they always do. And I was like, maybe they'll just say, you know what, screw it. We're not even going on social media. And they did. They posted it.
The one that I saw that I loved was from Major League Baseball. They posted the graphic, and it was, you know, Mariners, Brewers, but they posted Seahawks, Packers for the. I'm like, well, it really does feel like a football score. It sure does.
But the Seahawks don't even lose that bad.
No.
Even when I think it was Mina Kimes who posted something like, in the 21 games that they played last year, only 4 games did they let up more than 21 points.
I think the Seahawks should steal a slogan from the Mariners. Refuse to lose.
We need Coach Mike. He needs to just walk in and clean house.
Everyone should boycott going to games for the rest of the season. What an utter disgrace. Dan Wilson should seriously just resign.
I don't think he's gonna. If he was going to, I think we would have already heard about that.
And it just, you know, it's the 50th season.
Yeah.
So it's a very special time. The part that makes me the most sad is that it's Rick Riz's final season, and he deserves better.
And they're doing like a big, you know, they're honoring him over the weekend, and it's just like, oh, man.
You always want to go out on a high note. But
what a crappy season for him to have to. Imagine having to call that game yesterday.
No thanks.
That's my Mariners. 50 years of greatness. This sums up the entire Mariners season with Dan Wilson at the helm.
Yeah. I was hoping I'd wake up and we'd be like, hey, managers, the Mariners have moved on with a new manager.
Do you think it's going to happen?
Yeah, I do. I don't know. It's like,
soon?
I would hope it happens today.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I hope that they make the change. You have to. Like, it's just not going to get any better.
I love you, Dan, but I'm over you.
Right.
I guess
it's not you, Dan. It's us.
It is.
I guess if the score is 0-19, I'd just be throwing the ball into the stands, too.
Doesn't matter anyway. Doesn't matter.
All right, we have a couple more comments about the Seattle Mariners losing 22-0 to the Brewers. It's read to us by robot Betty White.
Good thing everyone stopped watching at this point. Like, that was going to change the game anyways.
Yeah, I don't think, Julio screwing up like that had no bearing on that game. It was just kind of illustrated just how bad this year has been.
Yeah, I dipped in and dipped out a few times and was really sad to wake up to that.
Okay, now that we've all had time to laugh.
Who's laughing?
Nobody.
The goal that matters is still in reach. Only 4 games back. We could come out the next 2 games and win each 1-0, and then this game become a historic whoopsie.
I mean, I was kind of laughing last
time. Oh, you're right. Yeah. It was a historic whoopsie, as that commenter said.
The Daily Mix Show.
There is a documentary coming out about one of the most notorious sibling rivalries in music history. And no, Steve Miggs, it's not the Jonas Brothers. We're going to tell you what's trending. We're going to tell you what's trending after Nirvana. We know that many of you are just starting your day and you're trying to sort through everything happening out there in the world of pop culture, and it is just chock full of stuff. So we're going to tell you what's trending.
What's trending on the Daily Mix Show? What's trending? Let's go. Woo. Let's go.
Frank Beard, the longtime drummer for ZZ Top, has passed away at the age of 77 while receiving hospice care in Texas.
I couldn't believe I saw that because they were just in town playing with Cheap Trick.
They were. And he's not been on this tour. I can't remember what year he stopped touring with them, but he had not been in the greatest of health. But he had been with the band for more than 5 decades and was obviously a very big part of their signature sound. He actually is the one that introduced Billy Gibbons to Dusty Hill.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And do you know what year it was?
1969.
You know it.
Nice. And he's also the one member of the band who did not have a beard.
That's
true. Which I always thought was the funniest thing when they were the iconic ZZ Top beards, but Frank Beard was rocking no beard on the drums. In fact, he was once interviewed about that, him and the members of ZZ Top, and they talked about why.
I had a beard, you know, but it wasn't near the beard they had, and so I shaved it pretty much right after we got back together.
Frank didn't mind being beardless. After all, he had the name, and he could go to the shopping mall without being interrupted.
He wouldn't go to the mall with me or anything. He just went, I'm not going out in public with you because you get recognized now.
I think that's just hilarious. He's like, yeah, man, your beard's bringing too much attention to us.
You can't go anywhere with those beards without being noticed.
Frank just seemed like an awesome dude, too. Yeah. Like, I saw that there was an interview clip that's going viral right now about him talking about like why he was so loyal to ZZ Top.
I'm still satisfied with him. I'm satisfied with Dusty, and I'm satisfied with Billy. With these two guys, I've never wanted to quit, and I've never wanted to get fired. I'll drink to that.
So Billy's now the only surviving member.
Yes.
Crazy.
It's wild.
And they're still touring. Like, because he said Frank would want them to still tour.
Yeah, that was just last week. Yeah. So, man, RIP. Disney has released the full trailer for a documentary called Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. And it's going to give us a candid look at the Gallagher brothers and all of their drama and the reunion.
Finally, after days of fevered speculation, they have confirmed they are reuniting for a series of concerts.
Most thought it would never happen, and some still aren't convinced. the way it finished, unacceptable.
It didn't sit right with me, man.
I just don't see myself on stage with Liam. I don't really want to be going back with the tension. Will it fall apart again?
Then he saw the dollars and cents that he could be getting. And he's like, you know what, Liam? Let's talk.
It was a record-breaking Oasis tour in 2025. And now this movie is going to be hitting theaters on September 11th. But it will eventually be streaming on Disney Plus and Hulu a little later this year.
I got Disney Plus.
You don't have to go to the theater, Steve.
I'm going to the theater this week.
What are you going for?
Either today or tomorrow. Guess.
Toy Story 5.
You know it. Tatum wants to go see that movie, so I'm like, oh, you know, we haven't gone to a movie. Do you remember the last movie you went to in the theaters?
Yes, we just went to Minions and Monsters a couple weeks ago.
For Barrett, I'd imagine, or for Brad?
For Barrett. It's really cute, though.
You know, Brad, he loves Gru.
Oh, for sure.
Danny, how about you?
I probably Scream 6, which was like 3 years ago.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, I don't go to movie theaters. I really don't like movie theaters.
See, I'm very fired up because when you go to a movie theater, there's one thing you can get, and that's popcorn. Movie theater popcorn.
You can also just go to the movie theater and buy popcorn without the movie, Steve.
Yeah, I battle with imposter syndrome with that.
No.
I'm not like a real moviegoer. I'm just going there to get the movie theater popcorn.
Poser.
Yeah, I don't want anyone calling me out. I'm very sensitive,
oh,
Danny.
Yeah, they're going
to
call you out.
The Daily Mix Show.
People, poser!
Get him out of here!
Take that popcorn from him.
Who believes that they can take down popcorn-eating Beat Migs? Steve Migs of the game Beat Migs. It's 223 wins on your record, 135 losses, and just 63 ties in 2026. If you think that you can beat him, call 206-803-ROCK. We're going to play Beat Migs at 850.